We want to continue to remember Sister Betty in prayer. She's had a rough few days, so just remember her, remember Stephen in prayer as well. Been looking at, leading up to the Ten Commandments, in Romans 7 and verse 12, we read that the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. The law which God gave to Israel fall into three classes. There's the moral law, there's ceremonial law, and the civil law. These are referred to by different terms throughout the Word of God. In Romans 7, verse 22 and 25, Paul says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." The law of God. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God." So it's referred to as the law of God. It's also referred to, notice in Acts chapter 15 and verse 5, Acts 15, verse 5, "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses." So we have the law of God. We have the law of Moses. And then in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So in the New Testament, we have the law of God, the law of Moses, the law of Christ. So we need to understand what these are referring to. The law of God is God's unchanging moral standard for regulating all conduct. That is the law of God. The law of Moses would refer to ceremonial and civil law which God gave to Israel. Now, ceremonial law, of course, is fulfilled in Christ. There's no need for ceremonial law. Civil laws were specifically for Israel, and many of those laws we have adopted into our own society, and they are laws that certainly, if followed, things would run more smoothly. But the civil laws, they were laws specifically given to Israel. But then we come again to Galatians 6, verse 2, and we read the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Now, I believe that the law of Christ is God's moral law, which regulates the conduct of all men through all generations. It is God's moral law in the hands of Christ, or in the hands of a mediator. So the law of God is now termed the law of Christ. It's the same thing. It's just the moral law of God in the hands of a mediator as it relates to God's people. Now, the Ten Commandments fall under the classification of moral law, or the law of God, or the law of Christ, God's moral law in the hands of Christ. And the moral law of God, again, is, and this is what the Ten Commandments are a rule and standard of all human conduct for all generations. Unlike ceremonial law, which was fulfilled in Christ and done away with in Christ, moral law continues on through all generations. It's perfect, and it is unalterable. Again, we read there in Romans 7, verse 12, that the law of God is perfect. It is holy. There is nothing wrong with the moral law of God. The Ten Commandments basically are a summary of God's moral teachings. It is a summary of God's moral law. We need to always remember that. The Ten Commandments, God's moral law, is in force today. We have a responsibility to obey. We have a responsibility to conduct our lives according to the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. So we want to look at the giving of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, of course, were given on Mount Sinai. You remember when Moses was shepherding Jethro's flock in Midian, the Lord promised Moses. The Lord appeared unto Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and promised Moses that after the Exodus, after the Exodus from Egypt, that Moses and the people would come and worship God at Mount Sinai. We see that in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. 3 months after the Israelites were delivered from their bondage in Egypt, they came to Sinai, just as God had promised. Notice in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. Exodus 19 and verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So they have arrived at Sinai. This is where God would give the Ten Commandments. After their arrival, God began to prepare them for worship. He began to prepare them for the receiving of the Ten Commandments. And again, this preparation that was made is very important, and there are very many valuable lessons in this preparation. It shows us that preparation must be made to meet God. But it also shows us again, God was getting ready to deliver the commandments. It shows us the heart and attitude that we are to have toward the moral law of God or toward the Ten Commandments. Again, if we go back to Exodus 19, Israel is at Sinai. God is going to prepare them for a meeting with Him. He's making preparations so that they will receive these commandments. We see in verses 5 through 8, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine." All the earth is mine, but you are a peculiar people. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So God tells Moses, you go and you tell Israel that if they will obey my voice and keep my covenant, again, he's preparing them for the giving of the Ten Commandments, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And we see that Moses shares this message with Israel, and Israel's response is, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. Whatever God says, we will do it. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. In other words, Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, here's what they said. They said, whatever you command, they will do. So, in regard to the Ten Commandments, there must be a willingness to obey. Israel here was expressed a willingness to obey whatever God would say. In Exodus chapter 20, God lays forth the Ten Commandments. As we approach the Ten Commandments, no matter which of the ten you look at, there must be a willingness to obey. We need to be willing. I am going to obey this commandment of God. There must be a desire to hear from God. Notice verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, again, Moses has gone to the Lord and has said, here's what the people have said. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. I will speak so that they will hear. So in regards to the Ten Commandments, there is a desire to obey. There also must be a desire to hear from God. As you look at the Ten Commandments, as you look at each one of those commandments, there must be a desire, well, first of all, there must be the realization that these are the words of God. These are the words of God. Each one of those commandments came directly from God. And when we consider the Ten Commandments, we must have a desire to hear from God. We must not look at the Ten Commandments as just words. We must look at them as words from God. God continues here in Exodus 19 to prepare the people. Notice in verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them, set them apart, prepare them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. So for 2 days, they were to make preparation for this meeting. They were to be sanctified or set apart. They were to wash their clothes. They were to stand before God clean and be ready. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And when he did, of course, he would deliver these Ten Commandments. So when we approach the Ten Commandments, and again, this is a good picture of worship. There must be a willingness to obey. There must be a desire to hear from God. There must be a personal consecration, a personal setting apart, a personal cleansing. Preparing ourselves for this meeting with the Lord. And again, if we consecrate ourselves, set ourselves apart, have our lives and hearts cleansed, we look at all Scripture in a completely different light, and we have an understanding that we would not normally have. So when we approach the commandments, we must be consecrated. We must be set apart. We must be clean. There must also be a reverence for God. Verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people. Round about. That is round about the mountain of Sinai. Saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border, the bottom of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. So Moses was to set a boundary around this mountain. The people were not to cross that boundary. And if they did cross that boundary, they would surely, that is, make no mistake about it, you will be put to death. So this is very serious. It shows that they were to have a reverence for God. But it shows that they were not to cross the bounds that God has set. And that's what the Ten Commandments are. The Ten Commandments are the boundaries of God. You cross those boundaries, and it doesn't matter which commandment we're talking about. You cross those boundaries, there are serious consequences. There are serious personal consequences. There are serious consequences to society. The reason, one of the main reasons, the chief reason that society is in the mess that it is in is because society has crossed the bounds that God has set. The reason for all the dysfunction is because the boundaries of God have been crossed. And that brings death. It brings death to individuals. I'm not talking physical death. It brings death to individuals. It brings death to society. It brings death to homes to cross the bounds that God has set. So he has not yet delivered the commandments, but he is preparing them to realize the seriousness of about what to take place. So he sets these bounds. And there's an interesting phrase here that says, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about. Now in the context of those bounds, saying, take heed to yourselves. When we approach the Ten Commandments, we need to realize that they are the bounds. And we need to take heed to ourselves, that we do not cross those boundaries. Even if you're lost, your life will be better if you follow the Ten Commandments. Everyone's life would be better, lost or saved, if they would follow the Ten Commandments of the Lord. Society worldwide would be better. We wouldn't have the cultural mess that we're in today were God's boundaries observed. So as we approach the Ten Commandments, we need to look at them as God set boundaries. Now, when God sets boundaries, does he do so to make our lives miserable? Or does he do so to protect us from ourselves? I believe it's the latter. It's just like You have children. You put your children in the backyard and there's a fence around your yard. Did you put that fence up to make your children miserable? No. You put it up to protect them. It is a boundary. It is a boundary. So that is how we need to look at God's laws. It is God putting a fence around our lives. And I'm here to tell you, you're much better off never climbing over that fence, never crawling under that fence, never cutting a hole in that fence, never going beyond those boundaries. After 3 days, there was a revelation from God. Notice verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day. Okay, they have consecrated themselves for 2 days. They've washed their clothes. They've made preparation. And on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings. In other words, God got their attention. God, we need to pay attention to what God says. So there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet, exceeding loud. This was attention getting. And it had an immediate effect upon the people, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. They feared. And as again, this is all in preparation for the giving of the Ten Commandments. There needs to be a fear. As you read the commandments, thou shalt not, you ought to fear. We ought to fear committing whatever it is that is warned against. It ought to cause us to tremble. In verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp. Why? To meet with God. To meet with God. Again, this is prior to the giving of the Ten Commandments. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. Why? Because there was this boundary. And none dare cross that boundary. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. Again, attention getting. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. We need to imagine this scene. God has their attention. And as we approach the Ten Commandments, we need to pay attention. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, we don't know how long, and waxed louder and louder. So the sound of the trumpet was continuous, and it got louder and louder. And Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. So now Moses is in the top of the mount alone with God, and the people are down below that mountain. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest, indicating a danger, they break through unto the Lord to gaze. He says, if you don't go down there, they are going to break through those boundaries. Why? To gaze. Because they're curious. Curiosity will kill you. Curiosity will cause you. Many have crossed the boundaries out of curiosity. And he says, lest you get down, they break through the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Because he told them, if you cross these boundaries, you're going to die. And let the priest also, which came near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Speaking of the wrath of God. So the people were in trouble. Why were they in trouble? Because of their nature. It was their nature to gaze. It was their nature to, after a while, cross the boundaries and to ignore the boundaries. That is the nature of man. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest, saying, set bounds upon the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, you see, Moses was a little ignorant concerning the nature of the people. Well, they're not going to cross the bounds because you told them not to, Lord. If it was only that simple. Well, they won't do that because the Lord told them not to. If it was only that simple. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them, lest he pour his wrath down upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And that, of course, brings us into chapter 20. So the Lord prepares the people for the giving of the commandments. The Ten Commandments were given in a twofold way. There was the audible voice from the Lord. And as we read the Ten Commandments, it ought to be like an audible voice from the Lord. The second way the commandments were given, of course, they were written or engraven on tables of stone by the finger of God. There were two tables given to Moses, written by God Himself. These tables, over in Exodus chapter 32, verse 16 and 19, you remember when the children of Israel made the golden calf. Moses came down, and in anger he broke those two tables of stone. And in Exodus 34 and verse 1, these tables were replaced and laid up in the Ark of the Covenant. So as we approach the Ten Commandments, and as you read the Ten Commandments, and as you think upon the Ten Commandments, there ought to be a willingness to obey. There ought to be a desire to hear from God. There ought to be the realization of the seriousness of a consecration unto God and a reverence for God, respecting the bounds that God has set. God has set bounds for every aspect of society. God has set bounds for marriage. And the reason marriage is the mess it's in today is because God's bounds have been crossed. You cross those bounds. I don't care what area of life it's in. You cross those boundaries. You bring a mess into your life. And when society has a hole, they not only have crossed the boundaries, we've gone much further than that. We've broken them down, we've destroyed them, we've removed them. Where there's no sight of the bounds. People grow up today having no idea of the boundaries of God because they've been destroyed. Man has done everything in his power to destroy them. So, it's a very dangerous thing to cross the boundaries of God. And we need to view the Ten Commandments as that. There are many things I mean, the Word of God itself. You need to view the Word of God as a fence around your life. And we ought to thank God. Again, Satan said to God, "Thou hast put a hedge about him," speaking of Job. Praise the Lord. God does put a hedge about us. He puts a fence about us. He puts boundaries about us. And that's for our good. And never let curiosity cause you to cross those bounds. And that's what Israel was in danger of doing when God sent Moses down. God told them, he said, they're going to cross those bounds because they want to gaze. And that's our nature. And it's destructive. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and giving us laws to govern our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize those boundaries. Help us, Lord, to respect the boundaries that you have put in our lives and laid out in your word. We pray, Lord, that as we worship you today, that you'd help us. Lord, cause us to draw near to thee. Cause us to go from here, Lord, rejoicing in thee. And we do pray for those that are lost, that you would open their hearts to salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.